Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back. This is part two of Man Baggage and a discussion all about regret. We are going deep today. We are deep diving and captaining that submarine is me. But sat next to me, pushing those levers deeper, is Dane Baptiste and Olivia Wayne. Olivia, I just want to ask you a question now. I want to hear a bit from you about this. Listen, well, we've been a bit mean about it, saying serial killers, and I mocked it at the top. But it's a very famous song, I'll Have No Regrets. People you love and care about, will use the phrase, regret nothing. It's on fucking T-shirts. It's in films. It's a thing. What do we think of people, Olivia, that live by the motto of regret nothing, never look back? What's going on there? Because it must be some positivity in it, because half the people that listen to this will go, well, that's me.
I disagree. Mm. I think a lack of awareness, empathy for others, I think that it boils down to from my point of view, quite a selfish attitude. Like, unless you are so caring, considerate and thoughtful and aware of yourself and check yourself, you know, we all do things that we hurt people by accident, by default, exactly. Make bad decisions. And that's fine. That's life. Obviously, if it's intentional, that's not fine. But hey, things happen. Like, if you're a parent, you do stuff to your kids all the time that you don't mean to. But you've got to own up to it. Maybe not regret it, but at least acknowledge.
That's what I'm saying. Just let's be clear on language here. Is there a difference between I've made a mistake, apologising, regret nothing, go forward, rather than a persistent, sad reflection on something that's happened is what I would call regret. So I would argue that often this persistent, sad reflection that plagues me with some of the daft shit I've done is a continued anabolic steroid in the arm of me making the right decisions. Were it to fade off, for example, the idiotic decision for me to put a streak in my hair and wear eyeliner and try and be in all the Heat magazines and everything like that. If the shame of that ever wears off, I might start doing it again. I shouldn't have done that. It cost me a few, nothing major, but it cost me a few gigs. I just looked a bit of a bell end for you.
I think it's right to have it. I think it keeps
to continue with the regret. Yeah. So we can think of more serious things.
Yeah. I think there comes a point where you have to forgive yourself if it's something that like is causing you such physical turmoil, like problems with your mental health, obviously, and like physical health, because you are literally, your body is physically reacting to the shame, guilt, regret. There has to come a point where you release yourself from it. But if it's like a nice kind of, this is your warning, don't go down there again, I actually think it's a pretty good thing to keep you in check and keep you on the straight and narrow.
Regrets can be good for understanding what we want. Feeling regret reminds us to think carefully about our decision and helps us not to make the same mistakes again. Regrets are also how we learn about ourselves and know what it is we really want. In feeling regret, we have clarity about what outcome and things we truly want for ourselves.
100% agree. Yeah, if you think about, I'd imagine like in a relationship environment, that's a big regret. We're coming on to that. Yeah, but like, come on, that's the thing that we're not talking about. But like, I imagine that's where regret can really, like, you could act in a way that you're like, I hurt someone I love more than anything. I didn't realize I did that. That's a good regret to have, to remind you, hang on a second, don't get carried away, don't forget type thing. And it might feel awful, but maybe you need that reminder just for yourself to be like, you know, if times are hard or tough, hang on, I know what's important. I know what I really feel.
What is your biggest relationship regret then, Olivia? You don't have to share anything you don't want to share, obviously.
No, look, it's nothing so clanging.
Broadcast worthy.
Nothing like that. But like, I think just being young and look, I was similar to you. I was quite a late bloomer, I'd say. So I only got kind of had interest later. So I think it was a bit of a new phenomenon, put it that way. So when I was young, I probably didn't act as kind of, I enjoyed attention from, you know, but I was young and it was fun and it was new. All my friends had had like boyfriends and I was like in the corner.
But that's not, I don't think that's regretful though, because like you said, you've said you're young for a start and experience is the best teacher.
But at the time, you know, like, well, maybe that would hurt someone if, you know, they think, you know, you're with seeing them, but you're flirting with another boy in the park. You know what I mean?
I guess the question is, do you still regret it now? Is the question. Are you now in 2021?
Well, it's not like tearing me up now. No.
No.
Nothing. But yeah, I don't. I think it's important to kind of hold yourself to a stat. Like, would I want someone to do it to me? No. Therefore, I regret doing it to someone else. Yes. That's ultimately it. It's not regret that like paralyzes me or, you know, but it's things that I, you know, would not like anyone to do to a child of mine or for my children to do, you know? So therefore, impressed with myself.
What about you, Dane? Any relationship regrets? Straightforward. It's 2005. You did this.
I think my biggest regret normally is just not acting on when I don't see a relationship working and I don't really act on it. And I've done that a few times. And again, I don't think I was kind of a late bloomer, but it was more because I heard so many stories of people's failings in relationships and stuff like that. It didn't necessarily put me off, but for a large part of my life, I didn't really approach relationships. Like from, you know, puberty and everyone's being an adolescent and they're experiencing these kind of, having these experiences for the first time of like relationships and sexuality and stuff like that. For me, I saw the way everyone kind of reacted around it to be so juvenile, I was never really interested in it. And then I had a friend who was like assaulted violently. He was stabbed over a relationship. So I was like, who's got time to get stabbed over a fucking girl, mate? I don't care about that. So I think I just created a real guard around myself where I was kind of like, I'm not even going to leave myself open to any kind of feeling that will cause me to act irrationally and maybe endanger my life or the life of my friends. And I think I just became so enamored in that armor, I probably regret not being open about certain things. But like, I've actually spoken to a lot of people I've been involved in years ago, and I suppose because I've been obviously a lot more visible. And I'm fine with like taking accountability for it. But I'd say my main regret, and it, mainly most of my regrets came from that first relationship where I was like, I thought being in a long-term relationship was just, you just try and be the best guy you can be for a girl and give in to stuff. And that's not really how any relationship works anyway. So I think my regret was not speaking about feelings and about how I felt. And I think that's what contributed to the demise of the relationship, when I should have already put my foot down a lot more on a few more things.
Can I also say something?
Yeah.
Yes,
you
of course.
You brought up something really good there. I think you're right that actually a big regret is not being honest with yourself. That, like, I'm in
that's
this thing
one.
I don't even care. Like, it's not real. Why am I like forcing that relationship?
I think at the risk of cancellation, I think as women having a high emotional intelligence, I think most of the time women, the biggest lie is the one they tell themselves.
I agree entirely. No cancellation from me on that.
I don't think women are liars. I think as they're very overt emotionally, they're very explicit emotionally about who they are. Like even if you say something to a woman and you go, you're right with that, and yeah, and she goes, no, yeah, you can see she's not all right with it. And so there's a lot of the time it's like women can pick up on emotional cues on men a lot of the time very easily. And so I feel women tell the biggest lie to themselves.
So, but do you?
Wise.
He is, isn't it? It's unbelievable. But do you think women are more likely to confront and amend a regret? They may be more likely to lie to themselves, but once regret kicks in, you're quite unusual in that, Dane, in sort of tracking down exes or speaking to past relationships and fixing those things. I think women are better at stuff like that.
Yeah, no, definitely. Men don't do it. And just to go back to the question you asked Olivia before about like people being consciously aware of regrets, I think even regret as an emotion, most people experience it in their conscious mind, which is like 10% of their psyche. Whereas the other remaining 90% is subconscious. And this is what people don't realize, is that even if you don't acknowledge it consciously, your brain remembers what happened and it's going to come for you one day. So when you see some old people walk around in homes mumbling shit to themselves and they're like, what the fuck are they talking about? They're talking about the shit they did 40 years ago that they should not have done.
Accurate.
And they regret it. And because, in the same way, that's like when people are like, you know, how do people develop new personalities and stuff like that? That happens from when someone is dealing with a trauma they refuse to acknowledge, their mind has to create a whole new person just to manage that shit. And that's why you get people with two or three personalities. So like if you have a woman that's experienced sexual trauma, then she creates a whole new personality for herself, because this personality can handle the bullshit from men. So it has to create, your brain is this rationalization processes that your brain does. So I personally believe like with regrets, everyone has them. It's whether or not people choose to acknowledge them. So with men, for a start, half their drinking culture is based on the fact that they are just trying to use alcohol to sterilize a wound that kind of does not, that stitches can't fix. I find that a lot of time, or any kind of way, when you see human beings trying to remove their physical selves from their minds, is the demonstration of regret. But to them, it's like, if I am able to smoke this and separate my mind and soul or spirit from the physical trauma of something, I would rather do this than have to sit in this hurt and have to acknowledge it. So it's just how we all kind of do it, this, that accountability, I think.
I mean, you're dropping some devastating truths today, Dane. I'm particularly worried about my 26 Ibiza trips that I've done, which ironically many did result in a wound that needed stitching in the Medico Center. I do wonder if my dad Dave telling me, "You're going to fail at everything, you twat," is what's led to me getting moshed off my tits at Pasha. Turns out it is.
Regret, honestly, you're saying it like it is. Ultimately, you can regret literally being a person that wasn't you, to conform, to fit in, to uphold stereotype, to uphold expectation of people. And like, God, people are literally living their lives not being themselves.
Well, it's the problem with influencers, is that a lot of influencers, like as you guys described before, is that not having a lot of attention when they're younger, and then enjoying attention and not dealing with the crust that comes with that proverbial bread. So, for example, like, some people are like, I didn't like my weight before. And the thing is, the people's minds on the internet and social media are like teenagers, because it's just the kind of how social media is displayed. Like, when people like people on the internet, it's like, that person looks good, is good looking, and their life looks aspirational to me. And that's what you used to do in high school. You'd see somebody, the most popular girl in your school, she's attractive and men like her. You don't know why, because when she leaves school, she gets a bus like everybody fucking else. But in school, because these are the criteria that we consider to be aspirational, it's like, you're good looking and people care about you, I want to do the same. And that's the same for good influence on social media. The problem with that is that a lot of time for influencers, they are now observing social groups that they wouldn't really have in their school. In your school, there might have been one weird goth kid. On the internet, there's about enough of them for them to have a group and have that solidarity. The problem with that is that it validates some of the negative parts of people they have, and they don't go through the process of regret and rationalizing in order for them to kind of like be able to adjust to it, because there's people that will enable this narrative the whole time. So you get people being like, oh, do what you want, it's okay, you only live once, not knowing that it's like, long term, there is no longevity in this behavior. And what you're also doing is leading other people who experience the same trauma as you, but maybe 10 years or 20 years after you did, down the same way, instead of addressing it and being like, this is... Because normally when we're dealing with hurt and trauma, it's never about, I hate how that... It's not how I hate that person. It's I hate how that person makes me feel about myself. That's the big part of heartbreak and rejection that we don't acknowledge. It's not that person makes me feel a certain way. It's that, why is that person not reciprocating the same part of myself I gave to them? Why am I not getting it back? So it's more about not hating other people, is how these people make us feel about ourselves. Because all of these emotions, you have to observe within yourself first for you to see it in anybody else. So even before, I used to think to people, are they going to regret how they treated me? Pity that person, because they have to look over their shoulder all the time, knowing anything they gain is never through virtue. And that is not a happy way to live. Whereas if someone's your friend and you say, hey, can you do this for me? Of course, I love you, I'll do anything for you. Whereas these other people have to be like, well, you need to do this for me because I did that for you last time. And it has to be more of an exchange. Whereas when people love you unconditionally, they're happy to do like acts of display love language or acts of service. Whereas when people have to cheat you out of stuff, they have to spend their whole life doing that because they've never seen it outside of themselves before or within themselves. So it's really a sad way to live.
Dane, I mean, you'd have to, for at least one episode of Love Island, write the links, please, because I would want to hear. And of course, the biggest irony is I did Dane Baptiste's podcast because he did mine and then he did mine again. So I don't know what that makes us toxic. So I just want to ask you, Olivia, about dating. A lot of people who listen, I get messages from surprisingly confused younger men out there in the dating world. Very confusing time for young lads at the moment, particularly ones who have been locked away and not learned the social cues that they should have been learning between age 17 and 19. Have you got any dating regrets? Shouldn't have gone on the date, or you did something, or you did something horrible, or you did something nice, or you did something you shouldn't have done. Any dating regrets? I'll start off with my one. Went on a red carpet with a girl who I'd seen on Take Me Out, and then literally just went on Twitter and then found her on, like I'd used Take Me Out as some sort of Yo Sushi type thing. I was like, I wonder if I can meet this, and then went out and showed off with her on a red carpet like a bellend. So that, I do regret that.
Why do you regret that, though? I mean,
yeah,
like,
you shouldn't regret that.
Because I was way past my 30th birthday, and it was pretty shallow fuckboy behaviour for a man of my age.
But did she have a good time, though, Russell? That's the point. There was someone else involved. Look, did she have a good time? Because she might be like,
of course she...
you know what? I almost didn't go on that date, you know, and it happened. And for the rest of my life, I will always remember. And he will be the barometer by which I measure all men by.
She had so much of a good time. She's never been able to date another man since.
an alpha widow.
No, I'm joking. No, we both had a very good time. All I know is that every girl, when I was in my single phase, all had to fill out a customer satisfaction report before they left the next morning. And very often they were still shaking and couldn't hold a pen. So that's how I know they had a good time.
Hey.
Olivia, what's your biggest dating regret? Yeah.
No, I didn't see that. Yeah. Sorry, you two. You just have a laugh at my heart.
I have to lower the tone. Dane keeps raising the tone. If I don't lower it.
My tone is not raising.
Unhappy customers.
I think a big regret is that I didn't really date. Not that I actually care, but I very fortunately knew my husband. He's my friend before, like from when we were little. So when we both were single, seemed like a sweet spot. We kind of found each other in the club, and then he was DJing, and he was like, do you want a drink? And I was like, yeah, we did a shot, and that was literally it. So
right.
I didn't date.
Like, that's like pigeon. That's how pigeons mate, isn't it?
No, honestly, yeah. It was really sweet. He was always with someone. I was always with someone. We never single at the same time. We never even thought about each other. Then one night, we both happened to be single, did a crack baby, and that was all over. Great shot, crack baby. Anyway.
There you go.
I didn't
What's really crack? Date. Hold on a second. What is crack baby? That sounds like you were smoking cocaine and got pregnant.
No. It was like it's like a vodka passion fruit
right.
shot.
You didn't have a crack baby with your husband.
Oh, that's a porn star. That's like a porn star shot.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh,
I genuinely thought you had coked up sex with your husband and got pregnant for just for a horrible second.
Which is equally romantic, maybe.
Okay. A love child. No. Yeah,
put the pipe down and piss on this stick. You're going to be a dad.
I don't really have any dating regrets other than I didn't date that much, but actually is that a regret? No, because I didn't want to in the time. But equally, I feel like I probably did date some things just because you should do that. Like, do what's right for you. I feel like not being true to myself is my biggest regret.
There you go.
See, I will tell you,
it always comes back to the same one. Yeah.
Do you want a real, honest?
Of course we do.
That is what we've been digging for. My shovel is almost blunt, Olivia.
But honestly, my previous career job, I didn't feel authentic of myself at all. And it was a really great job. Very visible, very high profile, very good station. And I always had that itchy leg, tense feeling. I wasn't
being myself.
Is this
sports? Is this?
Yeah. I always knew my passion was elsewhere. I loved the job and the people. I always just felt like I regretted that I wasn't just honest. That, hang on, I'm not showing me here. You know, I had to I was fitting into a box that didn't fill an Olivia size shape box. And that's a hard thing when you're given a great opportunity that you love, but you're like, but is this even me? Like, it's like, Russell, you doing, you know, Hunted. It's like, it's an opportunity, but it's not me. And I'm MVP.
I may well have signed up for that by the time this goes out.
Sorry, yeah, that was off. Sorry. Or something. You know what I mean, though?
But no, like,
there has to be a point where you're honest with yourself and you should, and I think we get one life. Don't regret, decisions
listening.
Like that.
All the big stuff Dane said before, and listen to what you said. We're recording this a few days before Love Island starts. And I've just listened to, there's another brilliant podcast, if I'm allowed to recommend someone that isn't me, which is Elizabeth Day's podcast, How to Fail. It's one of my favourites. And she had Dr. Alex on there, and he was talking about his experience of Love Island. It brings together all these things in our society, the teenage social media things, mixed with the regret, mixed with... If you get spat out the other side of Love Island, you're in that situation you just spoke about, Olivia, but without the privilege of being able to go, I no longer want to be a sports presenter, I'm going to do this. Because once you are a Love Island graduate, that's what you are for at least a decade. Unless you can pull off a miracle like Dr. Alex did and then go back to your old job, but he's the one and only. So it's a real problem when you find yourself in a box that isn't your shape, as you phrased it. And some jobs, boxes you can't get out of once you're in that box, even if you throw the box away.
There's so many problems with Love Island, aren't there? Like, it's a fun show to watch, but like the people on it, they, you know, as we know, there have been some serious fallouts from that show because they're doing things they regret, and you can't ever hide or get away from it or move on unless you are so you can process it, Dane, when you're on your own. Like, you can literally
That's the thing, but it's people, but that's the thing is that it's like, I mean, for anyone who's going onto an island on a TV show for love, that's probably the first problem. But I just think all regrets will stem from the same thing, is that it's not acting in our true, in terms of our behaviour not reflecting our desires. So
okay, Dane. Yeah, wow. Listen. I want to get past Professor Dane just for a second. Everything you said is absolutely amazing. Now people will be voice noting it and sending it on. It's full of wisdom. Do not panic, Dane. We love everything you say. However, Professor Dane, you're going out on a date. It's with a girl you really like. Talk us through that date. What might go wrong that you would regret it? Because for me, as an outsider, I suspect she might go really fancy mozzarella to start, and you go, "Well, that's the problem." With cheese and what it represents, and you'd be off on one for about 5 minutes about the nature of dairy.
I'm just saying, the reason why.
How are you on a date, and have you ever done anything you've regretted? Is what I'm asking.
I feel a lot of the time, but like I just think it's because I'm just such an overthinker about things. So I don't.
Well, that's why I wondered whether that
you don't say.
That's why I wondered. Don't change. But I wondered whether this brilliant aspect of your personality, this wisdom, this ability to draw conclusions forensically about a situation, but translate it into these nuggets we can learn from, that could be something that could hold you back in a romantic environment. That's what I'm trying to probe.
It definitely can, because I just think, what would someone like on a good date? And the thing is, sometimes if it's not an overt conversation, and it's not because I'm not blaming the women I've been with, but it's just because of just normal social convention. Mm.
Tracy, people, Donna and Kelly people, were lovely.
They were lovely. They were. But I just think it's very hard now. We live in a time where sex is so overt, but I can guarantee, I would say 9 out of 10 women will not look you in the eye and be like, "I like you and I'd like you to be my boyfriend." Because there's no practice in dealing with the rejection. And women feel like they'd be stigmatized if they are open about their desires towards a man, especially if they're like physical. So what I find a lot of time is, and it's caused problems, is that like I try and present myself as the best way I can. And people think, well, of course, this guy must be interested in a long-term relationship, which is fine. Then what happens is then I end up not just being involved with them, but people's families are involved and stuff as well. And I just think, we've only been on 3 dates. And before I know it, like, I'm meeting people's families sometimes. And that's fine. But again, it's like, because I'll be like, well, I'm just a guy seeing a girl going to meet her parents. And so I sometimes think you have to take more consideration of where your status is in these things. Because I've had situations where it's very clear that my partner at the time has gone into detail about who I am. And then so because of that, people can just go on TV and glean who they think you are before they even meet you. And I think with women especially, or someone's daughter especially, if you meet someone like there, people can be very protective and be like, well, you might be famous, but she's a star of this family. So people become very like adverse to anything they think you're displaying behavior about your being more important and stuff. Sorry, Liv, you want to say?
I just want to say also, if you are true, authentic, genuine, like you are, you're open, you know, you're not holding back trying to be anything, then I guess people jump on, think, oh, this is more than it might be. And you're like, no, for once, I'm just being a good bloke.
One of two things. Like if I seen a girl and I sent flowers to her office because I had a good time. But she's like, well, you're supposed to be my, I thought you'd be my boyfriend. And if you're sending flowers to my office, and I'm like, I'm not sending flowers to your office for that. I'm not trying to buy the status. It's just like,
being respectful and kind and nice.
Yeah. I'm just, nice. You're nice. I like you. I want it to evolve into a relationship, but I would do that.
Hold on a second. Let's unpack this, because this happened to me. I happened to marry Lindsay afterwards, but I might not have. I provide a full romance package.
You have to.
As well as the Alton Towers of the experience of going out on a date with me. I was sending flowers to Lindsay afterwards, and she phoned me up quite upset, going, "Why are you taking me down this romantic route of sending me flowers? It's like the sort of commitment of getting serious thing." But then telling me, by the way, I'm still seeing other women. I'm not willing to commit, which I was doing both things. So is it, Olivia Wade, female auditor, is that never the right thing to do, to send flowers to a girl that you've been involved in maybe a short relationship with, but you don't really want to be a boyfriend? Is that confusing? I know it's not really related to regret, but I think a lot of men will want to know the answer to that.
I think I think if you think there is no hope for this, there is not going anywhere at all, but you had a nice time, you don't need to do the flowers. But if you like this person,
Don't need to or shouldn't.
Because that is a bit of a mixed message, especially if the girl is so into you or thought it went so well, then it's a bit of a like, what's going on? And then like being ghosted or whatever, cat or whatever the phrase.
Yeah, ghosted.
Do you know what I mean? Whereas if you're like, But if you're like, no, you know, I had a good time. I don't know where this would go. I'm not saying no. It's just been a date. So I can't possibly know. Then yeah, be you, be authentic, be true. Like, it's nice to just not play games, but don't be a kind of like love Lothario guy and then just like on to the next one.
But I guess that's
where I went wrong.
But it depends who you are as a person though, because for me, it's like, I think if I'm dating somebody, it's a reflection of myself that I, how I treat that person. So you, because on the one hand, because I've had a situation where I turned up late for a date once and I was really late. So I was like, I'm really sorry, here's some flowers. And my date was like, no man has ever bought me flowers in my life. Now, for me, it's like, how can you go, I would rather you be pissed off and I could send a confused message and go your whole life without getting flowers. That's some bullshit.
Yeah. So, that's also no. Like, that's, I guess, too much pressure on you. Like, you,
yeah, I think it's,
as I said, be yourself. Be, you. Yeah. Be yourself.
Be yourself. But someone at the same time needs to kind of be like, what does this mean? Is this down to people having discussions? Because I think a woman might be like, I'm now in a state of emotional flux and I need to discuss that with you. But normally, I normally see that as someone just starts, like, you know, bashing me and kind of doing like thinly veiled insults. That's what I normally get women being like, you're not so special and blah, blah, blah. Or like,
aw, you are so special.
A girl I was seeing a couple of years ago and I think I just finished doing a TV show. And then I met a friend of hers, like, oh, you're on TV. And she was like, he's not famous. And I was like, where the hell did that come from? I haven't even introduced myself yet. But yeah, people sometimes they have to, it's, I guess people have an idea of how they think you would be in a particular position.
Do you know
of
what,
power.
Dane, I've just realised I didn't plug Bamus at the top there, only because it rhymes with what you said. Seriously, need to watch Bamus. It's fantastic. It's on BBC iPlayer if people want to catch up with that, is it? Or is it?
Yes, it is. Yeah, it still should be available. So please do check that out, guys.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So yeah. I'm really sorry to do this to you guys. We've only got 5 minutes left. Dane and Olivia are going to be very annoyed because it's quite a big question. But it's big, but in my opinion, maybe not quite as emotionally interesting as the others. But I have to ask it. It's a very modern phenomenon. And we don't have to go there with the obvious example. We can use something else if we wanted to keep the heat out. It's entirely up to you guys. I want to talk about generational regret or national regret. So to be born into a country, grow up, be 18, and be told you should be feeling regret for something that people did before you, or to get into your 50s, 60s, and 70s as the generation are now, and they're being told they should feel regret for buying all of the houses, for example. So we want boomers to feel guilt and regret for the house they bought. Isn't that a bit weird and requiring a time machine? Now, no one's saying we shouldn't apologize. No one's saying we shouldn't repair. But I'm talking about this idea of feeling a sadness and heaviness for an action you didn't knowingly commit, or something you weren't even born to commit. That's more complicated.
Thoughts? Over to you, Dane.
Keep it with boomers. We can talk about boomers if you want to.
I think the boomer thing is a good one, but for me, it's like, you know, it's like, obviously you have to be a lot more aware about overt conversations that are being had about gender inequality. I've spent over 30 years of my life living as a man and enjoying that privilege. Now, by that same token, if the counterculture or rebuttal that comes from patriarchy of women being like, men are like this and men are trash, like me being like, well, I've never done anything wrong and I don't see why, that doesn't serve to help, you know, the cause at all. It's understanding that this comes from a place of hurt and trauma, and again, just women being able to have that catharsis of being able to articulate their struggle can mean more to them than me being like, well, not all men. So I think it's not really about not whether or not it's feeling regret, it's just knowing. I just look at it as a point of etiquette, innit? It's like, when people are like, what's all these things about pronouns? It's like, how much of your day does it take to address somebody with a designation they ask you to use? Like, if someone says, I like to be referred to as a she or a they, how many days, minutes out of your day does it take to say that? Because most of the time in your interaction with people, you probably use their first name anyway or a nickname. So how much can it fucking matter? But people are like, well, all of my views, my ideas about, like, shut up, innit? Like, who cares? Just it's really not that long a way to. You don't really have to ponder it for that long. So I guess it's in the same way with boomers and stuff like that. You don't have to have regret and carry around this weight of remorse for the fact that you'd be able to take advantage of an economic state that happened before younger people were born. But
yeah.
Empathy and accountability can remedy all of that. Just to be like, I fucking understand what you're going through and I feel bad. Just sometimes people acknowledging their humanity can be enough for it. I know I'll never know what it's like to be a woman and be objectified just by walking to the shops. But just shutting the fuck up and just listening is a part of easing that person's regret anyway. So, like, I'm regretful about some things, but just letting someone just punch bag you up a bit and just get it off their chest, you'll fucking live in it. That's the thing. It's like, if a woman tells me what for, sometimes I'm like, I don't want to acknowledge this. But then after a while, you have to be like, you know what? I really fucked up. And sometimes people just hearing that does so much more for them. Just for them to hear you say, like, I guess I've never had a problem with saying I'm sorry, because the loss in ground or power or remorse I feel, again, when I juxtapose that to how someone may feel carrying around trauma their whole lives, I'm like, you know what? I'd rather say sorry. You call me a prick. In a year or so, you'll probably get over it. Rather than that person for 5 years doesn't know how to deal with another relationship, that person's still pining to work out where we went wrong. I don't want to carry around no one else's soul on my fucking back, innit, when I go. So I'd rather say sorry and let someone call me a prick.
So wise.
Indeed.
Couldn't have
articulated that better.
New study
on prescription,
yeah.
Dane Baptiste, on prescription, available soon on the NHS. Clap for Dane. Olivia, so what's your thoughts on this? I mean, there are two slight... Obviously, I second everything Dane said, but there's two slightly different things going on. Understanding, apologising is slightly different to carrying a sadness. Sorry to be like nerdy about it, but just...
No, you're right.
Focused on the title of what we're talking about. A lot of people walk around with a regret for something which they may not have any contact with. For example, let me give you an example. My relatives fled Germany, obvious reasons, at the start of the 20th century. Only on one side, there's only a little slither of that DNA left in me, but nonetheless, my great granddad ran from Germany. People in Germany aged 18 to 21 still carry that heaviness and regret in them, even though they were born 20 years ago. Now, that to me is complicated and interesting.
I'd agree, it's complicated and interesting. It is definitely not there. Burden to carry, but just like we all need to be fully aware and open to the hurt and traumas that we do cause, have caused, it exists. People were hurt. There is residue, there's overhang. And I think what Dane said is so true. Just empathy, hear it, take it. It's not so personal. Just, you know what? I'm sorry for what my grandparents and their generation did. It wasn't me, but I hear you. I hear how that has impacted you. And I get it. That's all you need to hear. No one's trying to say, like, it is your fault. But it overhangs. Like, racial issues, anti-Semitism. Like, you know what? If I feel it, it's not for you to tell me. But it wasn't me. It was too... I'm sorry. I get it. I'm sorry. I don't get it enough. I need to get it more. But I hear you. It's valid how you're feeling. Let's work... and sort it.
And we shouldn't, and that's the thing, is this compartmentalization of these human experiences anyway. Like, what happened during the Holocaust is no way separate to what's happening in Syria now, which is in no way separate to what happened in medieval times, which is no way separate to what's happening in Yemen. This way we try and compartmentalize grief and then try and juxtapose and compare it is where we go wrong anyway. Like,
it as a bigger grief, a humane
group, because it's like, if you look at race, for example, as a perfect example, is that with this connotation of white supremacy, it's that the reason why that's also damaging to white people is that the supposition that you don't have trauma in your life is a part of white supremacy as well. So when the rebuttal is, well, I've not had privilege and I've gone through stuff in my life, it's not that people don't believe you. It's that part of this net regressive ideology is that your life, because of your race, predisposes you to a happy life. So it damages you too, because you'll be like, well, I went through shit in my life. My life was hard too. But it's being told to the other side that if you're white, you don't have these problems. And that precipitates in the fact that we talk about like white, cisgender, heterosexual men being fine. But they also form one of the highest demographics of suicides in our society as well. And that's probably from the fact that when they say I'm in pain, everyone goes, how can you be in pain? You're a white man. So this compartmentalization of all of our pain and grief and trauma is part of the problem anyway. So I just think, yeah, in terms of like regrets and stuff like that, it's when people were adverse to regret stuff that happened in the past, you're not supposed to think about that pain. Don't think about that pain in terms of the fact that you weren't there and you're not of this gender or you're not affected by this race. Pain doesn't have any physical form. So you should be able to understand it. You know it's like to feel pain or feel loss. That's what someone is describing to you as well. Remove the titles that come with that. And it's just about, all right, well, my life's shit because I'm a black dude. Well, I've had hard shit because I'm a white dude. We should then commiserate together. And then once we do that together and empathize, then we commiserate together and then we begin to universally observe a healing process. Rather than this, I'm trying to be better over here. You're trying to be better over here. And we're trying to get... That's not how it's supposed to work. So unless it is... Because as a social species, unless we're collectively trying to heal collectively, then it's not going to work.
Let's clip that out and send it viral around the world. Thank you very much. What an amazing pair of guests I've had today. Didn't expect to go so deep. I should have known. It's absolutely fantastic. I have no regrets of how deep we are. No regrets at all. Thank you very much to Dane Baptiste. I've told you all the wonderful things he's done. Catch up on those. Can you watch Sunny D everywhere?
You probably can find it online.
It's so funny on
the old YouTube channel. So please do check it out. And also, thank you for doing this, Russell. And as I say, it's a pleasure to do this podcast. And whether or not you do mine, it's just good to hang out and chat stuff and shoot the shit. And the pleasure
but we'll do yours again now.
I always feel elated and like I learned something. Dane, I learned a lot from you.
Olivia, thank you very much as well for being honest. Thank you, the pair of you. Listen, you may well have arrived here as fans of either one of my guests today. Please hang around. Please hit subscribe. We have all kinds of tones. Some episodes we get to the very DNA and fabric of human existence, like today. Other times we really, really go to town on whether you can fart in front of a partner and maintain romance, for example. Look for that episode. And we do not go deep, but there's a lot of emotions involved. So hit subscribe. Do leave a review, positive ideally, but if you leave a negative one, do you know what? Don't regret it. You were just expressing yourself. Goodbye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.